This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as PlayStation podcast that makes 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
Nice emphasis on the combined there. If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Gives you questions, thoughts and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Jump over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
Yeah, no, I felt I had to mention the combined because someone mentioned in the comment that they're like, how have you done 40 years of PlayStation when it's only been out for like 22 years?
When you're like 12.
Combined, man. Combined.
Yeah, I can get the
since
confusion.
Day one, it's always been the same line. Mm. Combined.
I can but see it's easy the confusion.
To miss. It's easy to miss.
Confusion. That's fine.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
So you've been working your butts off this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, it's fucking hot.
So we've been different working hard. So like, you're actually outside working hard. So yeah. I work in the energy industry, and there is a cutoff date where you can request for new meters and stuff to be installed. Right. And that was this week.
Okay.
So this week was just like pump, like brain melting, stupid amounts of work.
Does that mean it's easier from now on though?
Oh, because from now it's piss easy. We just chill out the rest of the year now. Sick. We still do a lot of stuff, but it's just chill.
Yeah. No, well, you know, I work outside most of the day because it's getting so so busy working more days and they're long days. And
stupid hot.
It's just stupid hot and I don't deal with it.
And you climb in roofs and shit.
In roofs and under houses and upstairs and yeah, it's awesome.
I got no time for that.
No, me either.
You know what's a really good place to be? Inside, playing games. Mm. What have you been playing?
Well,
I've
some WoW.
Of course you have.
Not much to report on that. Not much that anyone really care about.
So have you made a new character or are you still running your old?
Nah, because I want it. The idea was when they announced the next expansion, because it looks wicked, just to get at my main ready for that expansion, because I hadn't finished off, you know, what's left to do here. So I'm almost at that point, and then I'll probably just put it down until the expansion comes out again.
What was the last expansion?
This one is Legion.
The one that just came out. So there's one that's coming out soon, and there's the one that that's the current newest.
Well, the current newest is Legion.
Legion, okay. Because the last one I remember was like Pandaria or something. Yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
Three expansions ago at this point. They're up to number 8, I think.
What?
The 8th expansion, I think.
Damn.
It's been going like 13 years, man.
So it has. Yeah. Like the last one I picked up was, what's the one before Pandaria?
Wrath of the Lich King? No, there was what? Cataclysm.
Cataclysm. That was the last one I jumped on.
Big old Deathwing.
Yeah, the cover of that game was rad.
He fucked shit up, he did. Gentlemen, since we had the community game night with Fortnite, and played a little bit more of that, it's one of those games that's really fun, and then split second it goes from this is cool to fuck this fucking shit fucking game.
Yeah, I didn't get to join the community night, sadly. I had baby, but daddy duties.
Yeah, that's fine. We had a full party anyway of 4, because you can only group queue up with 4. but yeah, no, it's fun just to, if you've got a spare, you know, half an hour. I would imagine like PUBG, you've got a spare half an hour, 45, jump in, play a couple games and get out.
Yep.
Been playing on the Switch, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Mm.
I can't say too much about it because embargo and stuff.
So thanks Nintendo Australia for that, of course.
Thank you very much, Nintendo, even though it was a PlayStation show, but thank you Nintendo.
Yeah, this is our PlayStation / gaming show, so we can cover it, right? Calm your shit.
Well, we're not covering it, but I've been playing it and it's 2 thumbs up.
I can't say
much about it, but 2 thumbs up. It's jiving with me.
It's jiving your chest.
It's really tickling my scrotum in the right place. No, I'm really enjoying it. Lots to do. It's all very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes me back to the PS2 JRPG days. You know, when I first booted it up and played the first, you know, intro sequence and stuff, I got like big vibes of like, feels like I'm playing like one of the good Final Fantasies for the first time.
Okay.
No, so it's good.
Do you have a history of Xenoblade?
No, none at all. No, just jump straight in. Because from what I can tell, it doesn't continue on from the first one, which is a smart choice. Because I think the first one was on the Wii U, so like no one would have fucking played it. Mm. But it does. The first one does have good praise and word around it too, and this seems to expand on it.
So. Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 does come out on the 1st of December, but you'll hear from us before that.
Sure, Quink. Will. And I've been playing guitar.
Yeah,
like actually. Well, I
mean, we mentioned this last week, but you've kind of jumped back on the music train.
Yeah, I have. It's awesome. That's why I went to J Car before we I need a couple adapters and stuff. Yeah. I've learned the blues minor pentatonic scale.
What?
It's basically a whole set of notes and frets, and you can hit them in almost any order, and you're playing the blues. So you can just kind of fuck around. So I found a backing track on YouTube of just chord progression. And I'm playing the fuck around, playing the blues.
Is
and
it
stuff.
Fun?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I love
Does
it.
Does it always sound good, no matter it what?
Within reason. You can't hit any note, but it most of the time it sounds pretty sweet anyway.
Yeah,
it's fuck cool. I'm really enjoying it.
Damn.
You need a drum kit. That's what you need.
I have a drum kit, but it's in my in-laws' place.
You need to be able to play a drum kit at your house.
Yeah.
That's what you
need. I live in like the suburbs.
You couldn't have neighbours closer to you even unless they were sitting on your face. Because like, you got like the edge of your house and then you got like this much
There is literally a meter, I think it's like 1.3 meters to be exact, fence next door.
Yeah. They can hear us right now if they've got their kitchen window open.
Well, as last week, there was someone was like, and we heard all of it.
Yeah. But what about you been playing? What have you been playing?
I've been playing... not much, really. I've been kind of being sort of quiet. I've played a little bit more of... speaking of Nintendo, Pokemon Ultra Moon. It's really different, actually.
Different to what?
As in Moon or Sun.
How far did you get through Moon and Sun,
though? Like 25 hours.
Okay.
As in, like, they completely revamp almost all the story.
Good. The first third of the story was fucking shit.
Yeah, it was all tutorial.
Let's just talk.
They've cut that. They've drastically cut that back.
That's good.
As in, you know how there was a bunch of bullshit and then you would get a hold of your starter Pokemon once you're in the first little town, right? Mm. What they've done is, just as an example, they've cut it back. So as you're moving out of your house and around the corner, there's like a grass and like, oh shit, you need a Pokemon. And someone tries to get you, like a little Yongoose. Yeah. And then Professor, whatever his fuck, and
whatever
I can't remember, it's some tree or whatever. Him and his, and then Populo, Litten, and Owlet, you know, they come and that's where you pick. So rather than having to get through to the town and then dick around. So you get it pretty much straight away, which is really cool. There's a lot of new things with the Rotom Dex itself. The Rotom Dex now has Z-moves.
I hate the Rotom Dex.
But it's actually more useful now than it was before. Like before, it was just annoying.
Yeah.
So now they've actually added features that can not drastically change, but can make your play time easier and better.
Mm.
And something as simple as if you see a Pokemon that you've never seen before, the Rotom desk kind of zooms in its little lock and goes, "Oh, we've never seen that one before."
Okay.
Makes you go, "Oh, okay, cool."
Okay.
Cool. So it kind of helps you like know what you haven't seen, which is kind of handy.
Never mind.
What was that?
I was thinking in the older games, you know, if you had the Pokemon, you have a little Pokeball next to
That's
name,
still there as well.
But that's only if you'd caught it, not if you hadn't seen it
Correct.
Before.
Correct. That's, yeah.
Yep.
So this gives you the benefit of like, oh shit, it's a new Pokemans. Like there are new Pokemon, so there's now like 400 and something in the game compared to 300 last year.
Yep.
There's new Ultra Beasts.
Any new Alolan forms?
I believe there are a couple. I haven't seen any new ones yet, but I know there are new ones. I think Vulpix and Ninetales is one.
No, that were
the old one.
Yep.
Yeah, look, it plays really good. I'm enjoying it. It makes like when we reached out to Nintendo for this, well, once again, thank you for sending that on through. I wanted it to be the swan song for my 3DS.
Yeah,
like, this is the last game I'll ever play on this 3DS, and
they've confirmed they're working on the next one for the Switch alone.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's totally worth it, man. Like, cool. I enjoyed, you know, Sun and Moon, but this has hit me in a different way somehow.
Yep.
But it just feels a bit more streamlined, feels a bit, like, just better. Mm. And what I like...
Tighter.
A bit tighter, yeah. So they've taken that year and a bit and just kind of compacted it in a good way.
Like, shearing a sheep.
Yeah, pretty much. Just get rid of all that bullshit, and it's just kind of a straight game. Well, like there's a bunch of bunch of dimensions and stuff, which I think they touched upon.
Yeah, there's a couple.
But this one,
I put in like 150 hours into Moon, so I'm not going to get Ultra Sun or Ultra Moon. I've already traded in all my Pokemon games, and I'm selling my 3DS. But I did take all my Pokemon and put them in the Pokebank. So the idea is that when whatever Pokemon Switch comes out, I can get the Pokebank app on the Switch and, you know, bring everything over. All that will fuck me over is if they're like, no, Pokebank's for 3DS only.
That would be so dumb.
I have jumped the gun a little bit here because there's no confirmation on anything Pokemon Switch, but that's the plan.
But yes, Ultra Moon is rad. I'm really enjoying it. A review is coming, but I wanted to spend as much time with this as I could before, because Pokemon is dense. Yeah. Like these days, it's dense.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see what the story differences are, so.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Plus post game is huge.
Yeah, post game is nuts now.
Yes.
Like plus with all the additional stuff like the Rainbow Rocket and, you know, where you go to Ultra Dimensions and just fight all bosses.
Yeah. You'll spend more time in post game than you will doing the main kind of story.
So it's about 30 hours or so to get through the main campaign and then fucked if who knows what happens.
As much as you want.
I've also been playing more Skyrim VR. Still great. Love it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. And thanks to their Square's PR team here in Australia, we got Final Fantasy 15 Monsters of the Deep.
Which is
a Final Fantasy fishing game in VR.
VR fishing game.
Yeah.
I did take a sneaky photo of you as you were playing it just before. You look like a dickhead.
Oh, I totally look like a dickhead. So there is a bit of a story to it, which is something I didn't certainly expect. I thought it was just going to be just a series of mini games. It's like, hey, go to this place, fish here. But they've actually combined it to a somewhat story.
Yep.
I haven't spent enough time with it to actively, you know, be like, oh, it's a good story, it's a bad story. Like, I've done enough to get it. Mm-hmm. One thing I've found so far is it's very sensitive with the casting. Because it's pretty simple. You press the thumb button and you release it at the right time and it whips it. Either it goes boom right in front of me or it fucking launches.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't quite worked out the finesse of that, like, close bit. Yeah. But I'll stick around with it a bit more. Because
yeah.
Catching it and then lifting it up and seeing how huge it is really rewarding.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem that big as you're reeling it in, but when it gets to you and you lift it up, same thing in the main game. In the front man, like, I'd fish and it's like, little fish over there. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get it. And you reel it in and Noctis lifts it up and it's as big as he is and he's like got two fingers around. He's like, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's so. In the story, like, that's who I was fishing with. I was fishing with Noctis.
Yeah,
I didn't know who it was. I'm like, who's this blackhead? And there's like, bing, Noctis. He's in the Final Fantasy 15.
He's the main protagonist.
So fished with him and I just took on this big kind of monster thing. So the whole idea is you go to a spot and then you fish enough times to lure out the big monster and then you have a crossbow and you shoot it with a bunch of crossbows and then you catch it, which I thought...
So you gotta, like, weaken it.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon. But
weaken it before you can catch it.
Not quite as fun. I don't think I've played anything else as well. I certainly haven't played PUBG.
We streamed some PlayLink on Wednesday
We did
night.
Play PlayLink. That's right. We did play Hidden Agenda and Knowledge is Power. I want to talk about those for a minute as well. Like, so Knowledge is Power is essentially Buzz but PlayLink. Really fun. It's kind of good. So we gave a bit of our thoughts at the end of the stream, but I want to, like, nut it down a little bit. I want to, like, get a bit more details. What do you think? Knowledge is Power first.
That's cool. No, it was really good. I mean, I used to play Buzz with the kids and with the family way back when it was actually a thing, and they enjoyed it. You know, I think Knowledge is Power is probably aimed at a higher age demographic than That's You.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, because That's You is just, you know, have some fun, draw some silly pictures, and, you know, everyone can kind of get in on it, and it's all a voting kind of thing to see who wins and all that. So playing that with the kids is a lot of fun. Knowledge is Power, I'd imagine they'll enjoy it, especially Alex, my son, who's 8. I don't think he'll understand all the categories and the questions, you know, a lot I didn't know either. But it was fun. It's nice and bright and colourful. And the dude, who did Dylan say the announcer looks like Mr. Sheffield?
Yeah.
From The Nanny. It is fun. I think the hurdle will be convincing people to, like, that you want to play with, to download the app.
Yeah. So I think that, like, that's the only hurdle I agree with PlayLink is, like, hey, we'll play this game. All right, cool. What do I have to do? Where's the controller? Like, no, just pull out your phone and download
the app.
I'm downloading that. But I think once they download the app and they get into the game, like, that's where...
You just got to play one PlayLink game to get it.
Yeah.
And then I think you'll be fine from there.
But yeah, so... I think Knowledge's Power was fantastic. I had a lot of fun with it. As I mentioned in the stream, the one thing I'm not too fond of is how it runs you down a particular line of questioning.
Mm.
As in, if you happen to pick a food category at the start... The remaining 3, 4, 5, whatever, are all have food options. You can run down the food.
There's only one option to kind of start branching away from that if you want to. But yeah, we streamed for an hour. We didn't have any repeat questions or anything.
No, we didn't. I think it'd be difficult to get repeats.
Yeah, it'll
be. If it's a quiz game, you want to pack that shit.
Yeah, I imagine I'll be adding more over time as well.
And the big one I want to talk about is Hidden Agenda. As you'll see from the title of this video, Hidden Agenda is a hidden gem.
Ooh.
I think it's great.
I think it's a bit early to be calling it a hidden gem.
No, I think it's great. No, I say it's a hidden gem because I imagine the whole idea of PlayLink will turn people off.
Mm.
I certainly thought about that when they were like, is this PlayLink or Supermassive? I'm like, Supermassive do some really good shit.
But it's like saying so-and-so is doing a VR game. It's like,
eh. Yeah, you're like, you're hesitant, right? You're hesitant. Then we played this and this was a legit fucking game.
Yeah, so it was made by Supermassive who can do storytelling, as we've seen in Until Dawn. They told a fantastic story, I thought, in Until Dawn. They're very good with the PlayStation Engine in terms of pulling, and their mocap in terms of, you know, translating characters to a screen, which, you know, we saw in Until Dawn. You know, you can name a lot of the characters that you've seen
in terms of the actors.
Same with Hidden Agenda. We saw
Katie Cassidy from Arrow.
Yep. Laurel Lance.
Yeah. Lola. So what they've done here is they've taken advantage of the, because there isn't so much demand on gameplay in terms of making the person jump, skip, hide, jump, whatever, shoot.
It's all a giant cutscene.
It's a giant cutscene with the choice decisions that you know from Until Dawn. So they've been able to take the gameplay power and move it into graphical fidelity. Yeah. So their faces and their face movements and the facial mocap is brilliant.
Eyes.
And my biggest thing that instantly locks me out of any mocap is eyes. Mm. I'm like, your eyes are dead. I'm out.
Yeah.
Where these had some incredible eyes. Like, the sheen to them. They had, like, the dilating pupils.
And being able to see the reflection of what they're looking at really slightly as well. Like, you know,
looking
in each other's eyes. Now, it being a PlayLink game doesn't mean you have to play it with people. You can play it totally by yourself as well, which I didn't know at the time, but you know, we know now. So I'm going to get back into it. The story seems real cut and dry at the start. But of course, you know, being on Supermassive, nothing's as it seems. And it did really start to unfold as we were getting a little bit deeper into it. So I do want to see where that goes.
Yeah, so it starts very, very simple. And then as you sort of move on, it kind of goes.
There's a serial killer. He killed people. You caught him doing it.
Cool. Done. And then it's like, oh, but So I'm really curious about whether the different part, like how it goes in terms of
one thing,
multiple options,
where it ends. I did notice is, I don't know if we, because we were streaming, we weren't paying full attention to our phones. None of us got a hidden agenda. Well, I didn't get one. I didn't see Dylan get one.
I don't think you got one either.
When we played it at PAX, we got two hidden agendas during the 15 minutes we played, but we might have missed it too because we're looking at the chat.
But maybe that, because we were playing the story version, not the competitive version. Maybe the hidden agenda, quote unquote, is part of competitive, because the whole idea is compete to get a particular outcome.
You would have to play with a certain group of people who want to sit there and actually listen to the story, because you do have to pay attention. But on the app, as events happen, it keeps it updated. So if you ever forget, you can check back. It gives you biographies of all the people that you meet.
So at any point, you can get all the information.
Yeah, you're like, here's this guy again, and you pull up, there's his face, and you go, oh, he's a police chief, and he's a wanker because he's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's fantastic.
The future of PlayLink is very interesting. They've launched it pretty strongly.
Well,
let's touch on
that for a little bit, because then there's no drop this week. The end of the episode is pretty much dead at this point.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
I'm just going to stretch it out. Yeah. What do you think of PlayLink as a whole now? We've now seen, there's four titles available. There's That's You, Knowledge is Power, Hidden Agenda, and SingStar Celebration.
Oh, yeah, SingStar.
Which we're not going to jump. Well, we have a code for, but it's very unlikely we'll jump into it.
I think Dylan would enjoy it.
Yeah, Dylan have a great time.
He loves showing off.
Well, next, because we are looking at thinking of having a Christmas community night.
Mm.
So, end of the year celebrations.
Rock
bring
Band and SingStar.
Yeah.
So, I think they've launched with the right kind of titles to really show what it can do, because you've got your That's You is your chill fun game, Knowledge is Power is that competitive kind of multiplayer game, Hidden Agenda is of course your very heavily story driven game, and then SingStar is just
fun,
be dumb and have fun. So they've launched with the right kind of titles, and having That's You be free for nearly 2 months, I think That's You was free for, was a good step. Now, as far as I know, Knowledge is Power and Hidden Agenda are about $19 each.
$25 Australian.
$25?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because Jess got an EB Games discount, didn't she?
Yes.
So $25
is totally a good price.
It is once you play it, but I think someone who's interested in it and hasn't played any of it before, I think that's a little bit of a hurdle to get over. If I hadn't played them, I wouldn't buy them for $25 if I knew nothing about them. Now that I've played them, they're totally worth that. So I think PlayLink will hinge a lot on word of mouth, and you know, going to a friend's place, like, have you seen this? Oh, you know, get the app and you play it and you go, this is fucking rad. And then you go home to your PlayStation and you show your parents, because you know, I'm planning on playing That's You with my parents and my kids and my sister, you know, around Christmas time.
Well, yeah, bring out Knowledge is Power, because the code's on top secret.
I think,
so
Yeah, it'll rely a lot on word of mouth, because from an outside view, looking at $25 a pop, it seems like a little bit of a hurdle.
See, but for us with our pricing, $25 is fantastic. Mm. And you can also go in store and buy a 4-pack.
Oh yeah?
I don't know how much it is, but I know you can buy all 4 of them in a bundle. Which is like, I think that is a great entry, especially, you know, people like with the internets and whatnot.
Speaking of internet. Keep going.
Yeah, you'd probably just go to like EB Game or something. I'm
the physical, are they?
Yeah, the physical, yeah. So I'm in the same boat as you. I think that they've really got the right games.
Oh, there's more games. Frantics.
Oh, there's more coming.
Coming out. Yeah, there's more coming too.
Cool. Is there a bundle? I swear there's a bundle.
Not at the moment.
Oh, okay. I swear I saw a bundle, but that's pretty cool.
It might have been a PSN.
Yeah, like, maybe. I think I'm in the same boat as you. I think they've hit the right set, mm-hmm. and there's enough for everything. As you mentioned, there's one that's family friendly, one that's very adult, yeah. and then it's just some good fun in the middle there.
Yeah, you got competitive fun, chilled fun. And then, yeah, your big story stuff. What's Frantics? I'm going to pull that up. It says family. Frantics is a Playlink party game where you and up to 3 friends face off in a variety of arcade-style mini-games hosted by a scheming, manipulative, and charming unfair fox. He'll do anything to stir up controversy, encourage backstabbing, and generally incite chaos.
All right, that sounds great.
That sounds like good fun too. But yeah, now Playlink, I think, has a good future in the PlayStation ecosystem.
Yeah, because I think it really... like PlayStation has really gone down a line of where for the gamers, the hardcore gamers, and I think this is a nice sort of intermediate. As in, the hardcore gamers will pick it up,
and that
but you can now bring your family. Like my mother and my stepdad are coming around next week for my son's birthday, so I'll no doubt pull this out and play some quiz.
And the benefit is, even though the app might be an initial hurdle, is that you don't need to own 8 fucking controllers. I mean, who doesn't have a smartphone to play on? Like,
exactly.
Well, my son doesn't, but he uses his iPad.
Yep.
He's got a tablet. So all these games can have 6, 7, 8 players, and because it is a Playlink title and you use your phones, you don't have to give them all a controller to play with, and I think that's a really cool thing too.
You know what's also really cool? The news.
Ooh, segue.
Here is all in a section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about all the news that happened to PlayStation and the gaming industry this week.
Pretty quiet news week this week. We got
as the year's wrapping up, we're getting kind of quiet.
No drop, for starters. So we've got 7 bits of news, including the top-selling games. Number 1, those who haven't yet purchased Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus can now play the entire first level for free. According to Bethesda, a free trial for Wolfenstein 2 is now available for download on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. In the event that you do decide to purchase Machine Games' new first-person shooter, your progress from the demo will be transferred over to the full game. Demos are sick, man.
I'm going to get that demo for the PC just to see how it runs.
Oh yeah, that's cool. We don't get enough demos anymore. They've kind of gone the way of
See, but I like what they're doing now. So, you know, previously demos used to be they just pull a part out of a game and that's it, right? Mm. Where now it's you literally download the full game.
Mm. And it's just unlocked up.
You get a timed section or one level, and then if you like it, you essentially go, "Yeah, pay," and it unlocks the rest.
Yeah. Prey, Bethesda are good with it, because Prey had a demo as well, not on PS4. Their reasoning was a bit fucking weird, but I think that was who's the developer?
Arcane
said you don't need a demo on PC because Steam offer refunds. It's all a big fucking weird thing, but demos are rad. I want more demos, because this is why I normally buy physical, which we're going to go into a little bit later on anyway, but if I buy physical and I don't like it, I can get a full refund, or if I plow through it, I can trade it back in. So I like knowing, you know, is this $100 I'm about to spend going to be worth it?
Mm. One thing I'm finding very interesting now, though, is a lot of companies are doing demos later. Mm. Back in the day, the demo would be before to get you all excited, and that's what betas are now.
On a disc in the PlayStation magazine.
Oh, text me back. Yeah. But now they're on the lines of, okay, so we've gone past our initial sales peak. Mm. Let's bring some more. Let's get a second wave.
Yeah, it's clever, because it bumps everything back up. Because, you know, these, like Wolfenstein 2 and Prey, they are, as well received as they are kind of niche as well.
Especially Prey.
When it launches, you know, the people who want it know they want it and will buy it.
Yep.
And then eventually when the demo comes out, you know, the word of mouth will get around how good they are, like Wolfenstein 2 has, you know, how, you know, great it is. And people, oh, there's a free demo, I'll try it, and then I'll buy it. And cool. I like demos.
Yeah.
Well done, Bethesda.
Demos are fantastic.
And Machine Games. Good job. Badland Games is donating 75% of its share of sales to Axiom Verge to a special fund dedicated to the ongoing healthcare costs of Tom Happ's son, Alistair. Happ, the developer of Axiom Verge, opened up in a blog post with a shout-out to Badland during his celebration of the physical release of the game. Happ's son, Alistair, was born healthy, but due to a failure to treat a case of jaundice when he was a few days old, he now has a lifelong condition called Kernicterus. Sorry. The condition is characterized by severe neurological damage brought on by a high level of bilirubin in the blood, resulting in a loss of much of Alistair's motor control and hearing. Badland offered to donate the lion's share to a fund for Alistair's ongoing healthcare costs after Happ settled on them as a publisher. They decided not to publicise the decision, as neither Badland nor Happ wanted to be seen as using Alistair's suffering as a marketing tool. Quote, I hope this doesn't come off that way, Happ says. I just wanted to thank them for their generosity in offering that up, since it was definitely something they didn't have to do. Bravo, Badland. What? I've never heard of Badland before.
I've played one of their mobile games.
So Tom Happ is the developer of Axiom Verge. Badland is the publisher.
Yeah.
So Badland, just a TLDR, 75% of all the money they get from Axiom Verge, they're giving back to Happ to care for his son.
Holy fuck. That's beautiful, man.
We need a feel-good story.
Yeah.
The last few weeks have been shit. I think we need a feel-good story.
That's so fantastic. And the fact that they weren't like, you know, no offense to WB and
I know exactly what.
Shadow of War. They were like, hey, here's a thing. Yeah, here's
look
a thing.
Look what we're doing.
Here's a thing we're doing.
We're which, nice people.
Which I'm sure they were genuine at the time.
I'm sure they were, yeah.
But this is
pure
selflessness.
Yeah.
This is incredible business practices. This is a business supporting a fellow business or a fellow like a friend.
Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah. So you know, as some of myself, I was born. I was also jaundiced. I was fucking yellow. I was the shittest little child.
Yeah.
I was very sick.
Heard a funny story about you as a baby, actually.
Oh yeah.
One time when your mum just couldn't get you to stop crying.
Oh, I love this story. Mum couldn't get me to sleep right. So because I was really sick, so I was like in pain all the time. So at one just point, like she cracked the shit. She picked me up and she just threw me onto the bed and she left. She left the house.
She went to the
shops. She went down to the shops. She went to the deli and there and like cause we you know everyone in Traralgon. Traralgon was a small town then. So like, hey Jane, where's Ryan? He's like, he's at home. I can't do with him. He's done. They're like, oh shit. So they went. So I believe he and her went back home. And here I am, fucking passed out asleep where she threw me.
No, that was just shaking baby syndrome. Yeah, like, you were out.
Yeah. the baby stress. But you know, as I said, like I get it. It hits a little harder for me knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Axiom Verge is a very well received game. I am planning on picking up.
See, this is another thing as well. This like it's past its first hurdle. Mm-hmm. Its physical release now is just supplementary.
Yep.
So you know they've earned the bulk of their money. So for Badland to do this, it's just like, hey, we don't need the extra money.
So that touched you the right way, and you were on the fence about Axiom Verge. Now is the time to buy.
Yeah, it makes me want to buy it.
I am going to buy it on the Switch though. Now here's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about it. A new service lets you hire professional players to play Call of Duty for you. PC Games Insider reports UK company Bidvine lets you hire professional gamers for $20 an hour for various services like helping you rank up your characters, unlock extra features within the game, improve your kill-death ratio, and more. These professional players are required to provide identification to prove their abilities before being hired. Bidvine claims it is the first company to offer such a service. Russ Morgan, co-founder of Bidvine, claims there have already been a number of sign-ups for the new service. Quote, the rise in professional gaming has been meteoric over the last few years, and there are thousands of people who can help out the more time-strapped gamers among us.
That's disgusting.
One thing that... Isn't account sharing not allowed?
Yeah.
Like everywhere? Yeah. Xbox, PlayStation, PC, Steam.
It's not allowed.
I'm pretty sure it's not allowed, even though we share the PopC account. That's different. But it's a media account. That's. but here's the thing. $20 an hour, fuck that. I mean, if you want to pay it, cool, go for it. But the thing is, they're quoting it to the rise in professional gaming But then if someone gets you up to the pro level and you haven't been playing it yourself, you're gonna be fucking shit.
So you know, it's like that's the thing that I noticed when it was like helping you rank up your characters, improve your kill death ratio and more. Like, well, my kill death ratio is like 7.
Yeah.
Really? That's cool. Let's play a game. You died 90 times and you killed 2 people. Yeah. You know what I mean, like, that's vanity numbers. Vanity numbers are garbage. That
doesn't matter
shit.
How high you get your kill death ratio, it will go back to the average of whatever you actually are.
Yeah,
like literally. There'll be like I played COD World War II when I first played. My normal kill death in a regular COD is 1.2, 1.3 ish.
Yeah,
not great, but you know, if I can keep it above 1, I'm fucking stuck.
Yeah, I sit around the same.
Yeah, but you know, because I was playing so early on. With not many hours, I'd have a round where I think when we played here, I went like what, like 22-4 or something. Yep. Never happened. But at home, same thing, and my kill death jumped up to like 3.0, and I was like, whoa, this isn't gonna last at all. 3 games later, I was back down to where I was supposed to be. Yep. You know, so you can pay people to improve your kill death ratio, but over enough time, it's gonna go back down to what you actually are as a player.
See, it's so gross.
Having said that, they had a great idea, an original idea. And people are so far on board with it. So see, like, props to them for finding somewhere in the market.
Saying it's so gross, into, yeah? But there are people that are dumb and want to exploit that. It's the same people that are like, you want to buy Facebook likes? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I do. No, but you know, obviously
it's the same people.
The company will take a cut of whatever people are paying, but then, you know, we don't know what how the money gets distributed, but you know, certain pro players might make a whole lot of side change off this as well.
Mm.
What are you going to do? I'm just going to play COD for 3 hours for this bloke, get $60. Fucking oath, I'd do that.
I'd do worse things for $60.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot I wouldn't do for $60. So
it's gross, but
it's in the UK at the moment. It might expand, but you know, props to them for finding a spot in the market they can kind of stake their claim to. Bit of sad news off the
happy news and the gross news.
Gazillion, the studio behind the embattled Marvel Heroes, has apparently been shut down, with all staff laid off the day before Thanksgiving. As a result, the game will also be closing early. Originally due to end in December, it will now cease operations as of yesterday of recording.
Fuck, that's a big change.
Multiple former employees have taken to Twitter to announce that the layoffs, which come not long after Disney's decision to end its relationship with the developer. Making matters worse, ex-Gazillion staff are also reporting that they're not even being paid their severance or their PTO, and that their medical insurance will end next week. Also, last week, PlayStation and Xbox players began the process of asking for refunds for money they had spent on the game that's less than 6 months old that would no longer be playable. That last bit is a risk you take, you know, buying microtransactions. Yeah. Like, it's free. Microtransactions, totally fine. But, you know, you're just paying for the license to play the game. They can take it away.
They're not asking for refunds of the game. They're asking for, so that's, say they went in and they spent $100 on the in-game currency,
whatever.
On the currency. So say the currency is called Rubens. I don't know what it's called. I've never played it. So in the game, they've bought 10,000 Rubens, and they've only used 4,000. And the game's like, oh, it's closed as of Friday. Like, well, I have 6,000 Rubens. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're asking for refunds for, not the game, because they can't.
And it's free.
It's free.
Yeah. That's what I meant, like the money they've spent.
And I think there's a line on it as well. I think there's, if you've bought it within X amount of time.
Mm.
Which Sony and Microsoft don't have to do.
No, they don't. No, that's
they totally can just cool. go, suck it. But the like, you know what's insane, it's though? Just, is there's such a quick turnaround in from running to gone. Word that it's being cancelled to it's gone.
But I mean, I totally get where the players are coming from. You know, spent money on this game that's only been out for 6 months on the consoles, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And it's just a bit of a lesson for these kind of things. You know, you gotta think a bit about it.
Yeah,
I never expected this game to last very long, but not 6 months.
Same goes for like people don't feel like, same as Destiny is an example, right? People probably have a lot of bunch of silver in that game. Yeah. Who the fuck plays Destiny 1 anymore? You know what I mean? Like, all that money is stuck on there.
Yeah,
and even everything you've ever bought stuck on that game.
Having said that, Gazillion, if all these rumors are true, fuck you. Fuck you.
Not fuck Gazillion.
Yeah. They're the ones that laid everyone off.
Yeah, but they laid
and
off.
Aren't paying severance.
They're also
PTO.
Fuck Disney for being like, nah.
No, Disney's, like, if there wasn't any business, money, it's business, yeah? And it might have been with this too, but if they're not paying severance or PTO, go fuck yourself. Look after
Yeah, they should have, like, that shit
you.
Should be allowed for. Mm. As in, like, if everything goes under, we have a
kitty
that goes for that stuff. assholes.
Third last bit of news. I think this is cool. I know you know, probably don't care, but I think it's fucking rad. In 2014, some early footage, Bloodborne footage, showed off a big enemy with a flaming hand. It has taken until November 2017, long after fans assumed this beast had simply been cut from the product, for the enemy to actually be found within the game. As Morris Nix shows in the video that was attached to this article that I pulled, in 2014, a flaming undead giant was shown as part of a demonstration of the game's Chalice Dungeons. When Bloodborne was released in early 2015, however, that bad guy was nowhere to be seen. Where is it? 3 years later... Yes, nowhere to be seen. I'll skip that bit. 3 years later, on November 19th, 2017, a group of Tomb Prospectors led by Colbrot Commander made the impossible discovery by officially sighting the first ever flaming undead giant. It's just, secrets like this don't happen anymore, you know? Yeah. Like, 3 years after a game's release... You know, it's been data mined and all that kind of stuff. You know, you just don't find secrets anymore.
I love it. I love and shit
I,
like this.
Like, I like Bloodborne. I can't play it because I'm shit, but I like it. And I love this kind of shit where it's like, you know, 3 years, you know, and, you know, From Software sitting there going, no one's found this yet. Mm. No one. No one in the fucking world has found this yet. And it's so hard to do in games these days to put something there that no one's found and it takes years. Like, people still find secrets in old Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking awesome.
Like, I remember... But people find that shit pretty quickly, right? An example is with PT. Like, when that came, everyone's like, what is this? And then within 12 hours, like, it's a trailer for Silent Hills! Yeah. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it just in the... Like, I thought we were in the days where this stuff can't happen anymore. Mm. And it still does. So, From Software, good job. Keep it up.
Well done.
Second and last bit of news. Bit of an update on the EA Battlefront 2 shenanigans. Between last week and this week, it has been heavily rumoured that Disney had something to do with them suspending microtransactions. You heard it here
first.
And EA
did say that.
EA have fucked up so bad that now the mainstream press is like... No, the governments are like, wait, what's happening? No, that's not okay. So we've had... So far we've had... Belgium, Hawaii state representative, and down here,
good old Victoria,
Australia,
the Garden State. Says my number plate.
To see, like, because we feel like, especially in Australia, especially in Victoria, that like the government just doesn't know video games, like doesn't talk about them, doesn't give.
See, Victoria's pretty good. Victoria's the hub of independent games in Australia, but
it never gets spoken about on this level, yeah? So for the Victorian government to come out and go, yeah, this is actually pretty shit. And the comments made from the Hawaiian state representative were pretty fucking like...
Yeah, he called... I've got him here. Oh, here you go.
Hawaii state representative Chris Lee is taking a stand against what he calls the spread of predatory practices in online gaming. Jim Sterling just cummed in his pants when he read that, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
As mentioned in an announcement specifically about EA and Star Wars Battlefront 2, Lee and others are currently looking at legislation in the upcoming year that could prohibit the sale of games to players that are under 21 years of age and possibly even restrict the inclusion of gambling elements, which Lee believes are present in the Star Wars Battlefront 2 via loot boxes. Lee and his team have also been in conversations with other legislators who are examining similar options of their own states in an effort to curb what he describes as predatory behavior on the part of game publishers.
I believe
he straight up name dropped Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, I believe he called Star Wars Battlefront a digital casino.
Yeah, something along those lines too.
Something along those lines. I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
So
damn fighting words, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, this is good and bad. Yeah, it's good in the way that it may be regulated now, but it's also bad in the way that it may be regulated now.
So this is the same...
Where are they going to find this line?
This is the same level of conversation that happened when... This is how the MPAA was created in America. Mm. When games...
ESRB
games,
as well.
Oh, sorry, ESRB, yeah. Not the MPAA. MPAA's movies. Yeah. ESRB. So there was a time where no one gave a fuck about games. They're like, all right, whatever. And then out of nowhere, like... Maybe we should care about games and what kids should be playing.
Have you seen this GTA game?
Yeah. So, but then the ESRB came about because of it, yeah. Which is fine. The ESRB is fine. But it's funny how history repeats itself.
Yeah, and you know, is EA getting calls from all these other devs like, fuck you, man, you fucked it all up for the rest
Not
of the
even. I think everyone's gone, well, there's a line. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like, EA have done... We talked about this last week, I'm sure we did, but it's like that when we talk about all the things that microtransactions and loot box shouldn't be used for, like EA are just like, check
our dick.
You know what I mean? And like And that's what's so baffling. And I've been thinking about the last couple of days, because as we mentioned before, like, some days I just get super fucking cynical about video games and video games industry. And I had the same thing. I got super cynical. I'm like, what the fuck world are we in? Where this shit, like, where, you know, like, I understand games are a business and they've always been a business and it's always been about making money, and that's fine. Most things in this life are about making money. You know, like, as much as we love doing this, we want to make money one day doing it. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
that'd be nice.
So that's what the point I'm making. Is always a business decision. There's always a money-based motive somewhere.
It's just the fact that it was uncapped at the moment.
But what's fucked is EA said in their investors call, even with the removal of microtransactions, we will not see a noticeable dent in our profits.
Yeah.
Which means you did not need to put this in. Mm-hmm. You are doing this to simply line your pockets further. The internet, you dirty pieces of shit.
The internet's been pulling that one statement apart, because now the excuse of, you know, games cost more to make and, you know, blah, 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 can't be used. Because EA have put that one little statement out where it's like, oh no, we'll still make just as much money, investors, don't worry. And it's like, why the fuck did you put them in there then?
Yeah.
Because you can. Not much longer, it seems.
See, I know it's last week as well, because, you know, I've done a little bit more digging. I've watched a lot of other people's content about sort of the cost of video games. Like, yes, they quote-unquote cost more money now, but think about it this way. Studios would, like, EA as an example, Activision, they would make 10, 15 games a year. They now make, like, 4, 5, 6 at best.
Yeah.
Right? So all this money that they would use to plummet into 13 games, they now plummet into 6. So, like...
Yeah, but, you know, there's also all your different pre-order packages. But the biggest thing, the biggest counter I use to that is, but your install base is so much bigger.
So that's the big thing. See, that's the thing. There are more gamers now than they've ever been before. And what do gamers do? They buy fucking games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's the same thing. Like, they talk about this the whole, like, the average age of the gamer is now 33 or 35, whatever it was.
The people that grew up with it.
So even you, like you and me, right? We've grown up with games. So we're still buying games. So now there's a younger generation of people who are also buying games. So if anything, you've not actually lost any customers over time.
No, you've gained.
If anything, you've consistently gained more customers.
And you will continue until the first generation of gamers, being the 30 to 35s, until they start hit the 70s and start dying. Fucking dying, that's when you're at your cap of people that can own consoles.
Yeah.
But then, you know, population keeps getting bigger too, but we don't talk about that political shit. But you know what I mean? So your install base is always getting bigger. And now we're even in a world now where people own multiple consoles
and buy the
same game multiple times. Bethesda. Not a bad thing, because you deserve it.
And by saying, not to Skyrim.
If I'm still buying it, that's because you deserve it. So yeah, the whole, you know, we can't... If you... And I don't remember... Someone on the internet said this. I can't remember who it was. If you couldn't make a Star Wars game and make a profit on it, should you be making games at all?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone said that. I think it may have been Jim Sterling. He said along the lines of, if
this is what he asked in the Reddit AMA, which didn't get answered.
Yeah, so he said along the lines of, if you are in a business where you cannot make a profit, you are in the wrong business. Mm. Not, the thing was said a lot more eloquently than that, but it's the whole idea of, like, if it's so non-profitable for you, get the fuck out. You're doing it wrong.
I saw a couple of pictures from Black Friday sales on Reddit the last few days.
Which we'll get to.
The gaming sections.
Yeah.
Empty, but there's still copies of Battlefront 2 there. The PlayStation 4 bundles... gone. Still a massive pile of Battlefront 2 bundles there. So people know, not enough, as we'll see in the top selling games for the week, but it has had an impact. And there was a report that it sold
60% less than
physically
than previously, which is great. So well done to everyone that is doing that. But at the same time, we've not won the war here. This is the battle at best. And at the same time, by us not doing this, buying the game, because I want it.
It looks awesome.
I love Star Wars. I want to play it, but I'm not going to buy it. You know, like, there are people, there are creators, there are, you know, artists that aren't being paid. Yeah. Or they're being paid and they're not going to get any more. You know what I mean? Like, And that's what hurts, is these people could be out of jobs because of some fuckholes.
Yeah, wanting more money.
Wanting more money.
But we are gaining allies, as we've seen, with various governments voicing their concerns recently. So just stick to your guns.
And yeah. all we can hope is that the industry as a whole has learnt something and they will all
it'll go one of two ways. It'll go one of two ways. Either everyone's going to kind of step back a little bit now, or they see there's a time limit on this, so start fucking going ham. You can't do worse than EA has. So, because all the focus is on EA. So I think other companies,
because they also did Need for Speed Payback, which, as the name suggests, you pay back a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, like, so there's everyone kind of
started pulling some stuff out.
Yeah, but everyone pushed that aside. Everyone's focused on Star Wars. They're like, oh, fuck, Need for Speed Payback is going
to quickly change this.
Speaking of Need for Speed Payback, that is in the top selling games. Let's go through it right now.
Nice. Top selling games for the week ending 19th of November 2017. Starting at number 10, FIFA 2018, NBA 2K18. I should say the numbers. Number 8, Skyrim VR. Number 7, Ashes Cricket. Number 6, Marvel Super Heroes 2. Number 5, The Sims 4. Number 4, Need for Speed Payback. Number 3, Arse Origins. Number 2, Call of Duty World War 2. Number 1, Battlefront 2.
Are you positive that's Skyrim VR?
Yeah, maybe.
I thought it was Skyrim Special Edition, according to the picture at least.
What was the Special Edition of suddenly?
It was on sale, I imagine.
Was it? I don't know.
I was, because I looked at the picture, I'm like, why is Special Edition here? That makes no fucking sense.
Fun fact, the top 4 games of the top selling games last week are littered with loot boxes.
Fun fact, guess what game isn't on that list?
What?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, first time since release.
First time in as long as we've been doing this show, yeah, at least.
30 episodes long, first time it hasn't been in there. Wow.
Huge.
Because of Marvel Super Heroes 2.
That's the game that dethroned
the Ashes Cricket.
Yeah, it's a good point.
No, you're right. It is Skyrim remastered, not the VR.
Yeah.
Strange.
I honestly used the wrong picture.
I just saw Skyrim and went, oh, it must be VR because that's what's relevant.
Yeah, right. No, now, Special Edition. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's it for the news this week.
Yeah, Special Edition will be doing well. VR will be doing well, of course. You know, yeah, it's a big game to play right now.
Smaller install base.
Speaking of games to play right now, so this is what I wanted to do, is I wanted to have a chat about physical versus digital games. I'm sure we've had this conversation before in the past, but I want to tackle a very specific part of it. So at time of recording, this week is Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, right? So previously, this is very much US sales holiday, but over the last couple of years, it's slowly made its way over to Australia, and I'm very grateful that it has. Thank you very much.
We just fucking do everything they do now.
Oh, I have, like, when it comes to sweet bargains, I don't care.
I don't need another reason to destroy my bank.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I did make one. I've made one purchase so far. Mm. I bought the Razer Manowar 7.1 surround sound headset. I bought it for $111. It retails at $210.
That's a lot of money for a headset. Seeing you already have two.
Yeah, but I want a
7.1. But they're not 7.1.
I want a 7.1, and I didn't want to pay $200 for it.
You've always got to have the latest and greatest, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do. But PS4 Pro.
But it's like, I said, for
4K HDR
for literally like $110.
Brand new PC.
Well, this thing, it works on PC and PS4.
Surprised you didn't pick up an Xbox One X so far.
So, like, yeah, I mean, like, the sales are through the roof in some ways.
Anyway, what's your point?
What I want to talk about is, so there are Black Friday sales on PSN, on the Xbox Marketplace.
That's to be
expected. Of course, there's some at EB Games, JB Hi-Fi, and all your physical stores.
Pretty sweet deals out there.
But I want to talk about pricing.
Yeah.
Because what's really fucked up right now is there's always been such a disparity in prices between the digital storefronts and the physical stores. But if anything, this sale has truly shown that more. So as an example, most games, or all games, on release day are the full RRP of $100 on the digital storefronts. In store, you're looking $70. $80.
64 at Big W.
64, depending on that 64. Big W are pretty good at rolling 64.
Big W are fucking awesome.
So this is a discussion that we had a very long time ago when we were on the radio and we were talking about why are games $100. And we broke it down. So obviously there's the game, there's the cost of the game itself. There's the substantial cost of getting them shipped over here, because they aren't print, a lot of the time they aren't printed here, I don't believe. Or if they are printed here, we have a big fuck off huge country that needs to be like distributed over.
In the middle of Northern Territory.
Yeah. So
get them by fucking steam train.
Well, a lot of it has to, because you can't, you don't fly all that stuff. You move it in trucks and shit, right? Yeah. So there's obviously, you know, we're a big F off country. There's a lot of karting shit around. So it works out that, you know, when they do sell them at like $64 or whatever, they're making nothing. Mm. Nothing.
Yeah. To get people into the store.
Yeah. And then you go into a digital storefront and they're asking for $99.95, and you're like, well, you don't have a storefront.
Yeah.
You don't have to physically print the game. Yeah. You don't have to ship the game. All you're doing is giving me a bunch of ones and zeros at $40 more. The fuck?
Mm.
Then on top of that, so there's all these sales going on now. An example is GT Sport, $29 in stores. Ooh. Which feels genuinely criminal.
Yeah, it does.
Like that game came out like
2 weeks ago?
3 weeks, like a month ago.
Yeah, okay.
And like, really? $29?
Well, even like Wolfenstein
2. It's $45.50 on PSN. Even with a sale, it's $50 on PSN. Yeah,
they'd never put it down to $29. Short answer is, I don't fucking know, man. I mean, Nintendo had a statement at some point in the last couple of months where they said they don't want to undercut physical stores because they don't want to undercut physical editions because they don't want to damage the brick and mortars, yeah?
Hmm.
Fuck that noise. If you want to, if you want us to buy digitally, give us a reason to. Because stores like, you know, EB Games and GameStop, I always get GameStop and Spot mixed up.
GameStop in the US, yeah.
They are kind of on a time limit, unless they kind of evolve the way, which GameStop is trying to do.
Which is why they've bought ThinkGeek, and that's why here in Australia with EB Games, they have Zing.
Yeah.
The whole idea is supplement the income with a bunch of additional garbage.
Well, even GameSpot... Stop. Games. Which one is the shop?
Stop.
GameStop. Publishing games. Wait. Now.
No, games. GameSpot. Stop.
GameStop, like publishing games now. You know, game, and they're looking at doing like a rental service as well. So they are looking at ways to kind of, you know,
diverse
what they do so they can stay afloat. But I've still firmly got my foot down. If I can get the game physically, I'm going to fucking buy it physically. Mm. It would take a phenomenal sale for me to get it digitally. One reason is I'm at cap hard drive. My hard drive's capped. And I'm not deleting games to put new games on for a game that I might want to play again later and have to fucking download it. I'm not at that point.
Mm.
I don't want to do that. And the thing is that a lot of games I've got this year, I could only afford them because I was able to trade in games towards them. You know, at the time. And there's normally pretty sweet trading deals too. Like for when Crash Insane Trilogy came out, I got it for free. So I was trading any two PS4 games and get Crash Insane Trilogy. So I did that. So, and when you get digitally, obviously you're stuck with it forever, yeah? But as for like why they're always more expensive, I don't know. Like I don't have an answer for you. You know, if
speculate.
Seems like I can't. That's want money from fucking lazy people that don't want to go to EB Games. I don't know. I honestly don't know. And then you look at the prices of, you know, the digital deluxe editions and, you know, why would I buy a collector's edition digitally to get digital goods when I could buy a physical collector's edition and get a fucking sweet statue and some posters? Like, I don't know. I'm not on board with this digital future. I know we're going there and I know we're going to get there, but I am planting my feet. I'm like, I'm not there yet. I don't want to do this just yet. I can't even speculate because I can't think of a feasible reason why they'd be more expensive.
Yeah, I think the grounds comes from what Nintendo have stated. Because yeah. Nintendo, who notoriously don't alter their prices.
No. I mean, I think Mario Rabbids launched at $79.95. I was like, whoa, I thought it'd be $89. That's what Nintendo always do.
Yeah, it's like $10 less. And it's still there. Like, I don't think it's dropped in price.
But, I mean, I know we get additional taxes and stuff over here in Australia.
Mm.
But obviously that doesn't make up the difference. But, you know, there are still brick and mortar stores down here that do charge the $100 for a brand new game. And if you want it cheaper than that, you have to price match it. But guaranteed, 99% of the time, if you can get it physically, you can get it cheap. If you can get it physically, it will be cheaper than buying it online.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, the PSN does do a sweet sale. And there are games that are cheaper than they are physically. But it's so rare for that to happen. And then, of course, there are games you can only get digitally, so you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Like Rocket League and stuff. I mean, Rocket League used to have a physical, doesn't it?
It still does.
Does it?
Activision. I mean, we reported like 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. But I can't even speculate why, other than trying to keep the brick and mortar shops up. But I don't know why they'd be wanting to do that.
Because they need someone to sell their consoles.
That's true too. Yeah. That's interesting. Elaborate on that.
So where I come from, I look at it, I'm like, okay, cool. As someone that is in the best place to start embracing this digital future, I've got the NBNs, you know, fast NBNs. So download size isn't an issue for me. Download, you know, because the speed and stuff is fine. Cool. So I'm slowly making my way into the digital future. Like right now, when we reach out to PR companies and they're like, hey, whatever, we ask for digital codes. Because one, it's super easier. We get it faster. And we can do more stuff with it quicker.
And we can both.
And we can share it. Mm. And we both play it at the same time. So like in that transition, like I've just by act of convenience with what we do, digital is preferred.
Mm.
But I still love going into a store and buying physical.
Well, think like in your office, you've got that wall of PS1, PS2, PS3 games. Mm. You know, with the PS5, you'd be gone. Like you can't.
Which is fine because
you can't add to that collection.
I'm content. Like I have a bunch of DVDs in that shelf as well. I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do with all these DVDs?
Yeah, DVDs are what? Fuck DVDs, man. Fuck DVDs. But games, like they do have a certain like nostalgia, like heritage. Like I'd throw out all my DVDs in a day if I had to save space. I'd fuck them off then. I'll just download them, whatever, or rip them from the DVD because I bought it. So yeah, I rip it. But for games, nah. Especially not the PS1, PS2, SNES games and all that I've got. They're never going anywhere. They're toys. They're my childhood toys. Yeah? Like, be like me throwing out the massive tub I have of Mighty Maxes. Not going to happen. Still in my garage. All my Street Sharks, all of that, still in my garage. And the video games are the same thing because they're the toys I played as a kid. So.
See, like, mine doesn't come from a nostalgic area. It's like... It frustrates me because I feel in the same way that like everyone gets all sort of uppity about like microtransactions and loot boxes because they feel that someone's trying to rip them off. Jump on that PSN and you feel like someone's trying to rip you off. You know what I mean? Because like they are making the most amount of money they can on that.
Yeah.
It goes direct to the developer. It goes direct to the storefront.
I feel like it's
a win-win for them.
It's a question that hasn't been definitively answered.
And they won't answer it until it changes. Yeah. And another thing
who
is...
Who knows, with all these legislators looking into, you know, all this loot box shit, they might dig a little bit deeper and start looking at all this as well.
Like, see, the difference is, though, is what they're charging is the RRP, so they're not actually hiking it up. It's what they're selling it at. And yeah, then everybody else selling it cheaper is competition.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, you know, but in the same vein of, like, Steam, right, which has ridiculous sales, because... PC is at a point now where no one buys physical games on PC. No one. Because the transitions already happened.
I buy the WoW expansions physically.
Yeah, because you're a big fan of the boxes.
I like all the boxes.
This is a cataclysm. Don't box, I said at the start of the video. Yeah. But
no, I get what you mean.
Yeah, it's so...
PC isn't that all digital future. But the thing is, with a PC, you can easily have 8 terabytes of hard drive in there.
Yeah.
And more. Like, go fucking crazy. Put as many fucking
We have 5 terabytes... just for Pop C shit.
Exactly. And it's like, what, $120?
Yeah.
For a 2 terabyte hard drive?
Yeah. But at the same time, the PS4 now supports those external hard drives.
Doesn't matter, though. That's irrelevant. Because then you're buying an external hard drive to have more cables behind your TV to plug into that. And then it's like, I want to uninstall this. Is it on that? Which hard drive is it on? Then you get to the point where it's like... Because I have... If I had every game... downloaded and ready to play, I'd have nearly 5 terabytes of games.
Yeah, easy.
Including all the patches and, you know, all that kind of shit too. And then it's like, well, then I need a 2 terabyte hard drive, then that's full. So I'll buy another external hard drive for another PowerPoint and another USB port. Oh, look, I need a USB hub for this as well. Like, it's not as easy. I know you can plug in an external into your consoles now and do it that way, but it's nowhere near as convenient as a PC.
Speaking of patches, this is another thing that I've been thinking about as well. So the whole idea of games getting bigger and whatever, and now with 4K, so we've got 4K textures, we've got 4K texture packs. Guess what's getting bigger? Fucking download sizes.
Yeah.
Forza 7 is 110? That's 110 gig download.
I will never own that game, ever.
But you,
just on principle.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. I have unlimited downloads, but like
I've
even then,
I've got unlimited downloads as well. But that's 15% of my hard drive space for one game. Not going
to
happen.
See, this is where I'm trying to get at. The whole idea of, like, as much as I love the idea of the digital future, because it's convenient, it's handy, Australia is not in any place to do this.
No, we're
period.
Not. As a whole.
Our infrastructure is not there, and with our government constantly trying to fuck over the one internet thing that we're trying to bring, that they're trying to bring in.
By the time we get it, NBN will be old news and there'll be something else.
Yeah.
Which I think they're already working on at this point.
Oh, highly likely.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I can get it physically, I'll get it physically.
But also,
it's that simple.
You know, my example is my Switch, right? Like, I'm trying to go as digital as possible with my Switch. It's just portable. It's easy.
I still like the cartridges.
Yeah.
Like, when we got the code for Doom, you're like, do you have a memory card in that? Because this thing's 22 gig for the Switch. That's fucking massive. That's cool. Got Xenoblade on there as well. Still got enough room. So that's fine. But the interesting thing with the Switch is because they're essentially micro SD cards, is what if they bring out a game, I don't know, a game that requires constant multiplayer updates? And what if the space starts to run out on the micro SD card?
It doesn't update to the cart.
It updates to the Switch itself.
It's on the Switch or the SD card you've plugged in.
Then...
So are you talking about updates to the game cartridge or the
cartridge? No,
everything's either on the console or the SD card you plug in.
Okay, that makes sense then. Never mind, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Because like it's a non-rewritable SD card.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, what do you think? What's your thoughts on the digital future? Are you buy the physical games or the digital games? Comment below.
Are you buy
physical?
In case you didn't notice, we really have an idea for a topic this week, so we just fucking spitballed.
We just bullshitted, and I just had, because I was looking, because I said, we want to both buy Nier.
Yeah, I am.
I've got
too much else going on, though. Can't find it.
No, I was like, I want it, but like the PSNs are asking for like $60. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Physically, it's 47.
47, I'm like...
42 if you can find a pre-owned one.
Yeah, 42 is not too bad.
I'm waiting for 35. Now, I don't know why I'm so hesitant.
Would love it.
I know I'll love it. And I've spent $100 on COD because they only had Steelbook editions left and I wanted it. I'm like, fucking fine. Here's $100. Mm. And I really want to play Nier this year because I'm sure it will be...
You'll be in
my
top three.
In my game of the years in some discussion. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. That was a big breath. How do you join the conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your questions, topics and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is a little bit too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.